Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good evening, Philadelphia, and welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch / Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley, or download that iHeartRadio app. I've been talking about it for almost 6 months now, and you can listen to us anywhere, crystal clear, worldwide. Yet again, I'm not going to say, last week I think I said we were live like four different times, but we are not live. We're live on Wednesday night broadcasting together. Murph is at his house. I'm at mine. But, you know, lo and behold, I'm Chris Sack from Green Legion Radio alongside my esteemed colleague and my partner in crime, Greg Murphy. Murph, what's going on, buddy?
Well, you know, things have not gone all that well over the last week or so since we talked again, Sack. I don't know. I can't figure out this team. I can't figure out what it is that prevents them from playing well against the bottom feeders in baseball. It has been so frustrating. This, you know, the fact that they're still in it, the fact that they still have an opportunity to make the postseason is really kind of remarkable at this point, because they really don't deserve to make the postseason, but they're there. They've got a chance, but it's been frustrating for sure.
Yeah, I contemplated whether or not I wanted to say good evening. Remember, there was a couple times when we were down at 1100 Social on Xfinity Live where I didn't even say good. It was just morning Philadelphia. And I at this point, Murph, I've come to the realization that, as a Phillies fan, you know, being stuck in this putrid mess that we have for over the last decade, no matter how angry I get, no matter how upset I get, I just don't see the same frustration in the players. And that's the part. And Murph, I see the look on your face, and you've covered them for years and you've been around them. And listen, I get it. I want to say that I understand. I know that they're frustrated. I know that they're upset and they're ticked off that they're not taking advantage of these opportunities. But every year, the last 4 years, they've been there. They've been on the cusp. Like I put this down on Green Legion Radio last week when I did my Phillies hit. I had these notes about Aaron Nola and how disappointed I was about his September performances. And in 2018, they went into the month of September only three games back in the division. In 2019, they were in the wild card race still.
Yeah.
In 2020, they were three games back of the division, you know, with a month to go. And this year, they were two games back entering September. And it's just, you know, these last 4 years have just been rough on the soul, because this team just doesn't know how to get over the hump. They don't know how to get over the top. And it's like,
that's true.
And it's the same core of players almost that have been here through it all. And that's the frustrating part to me, is we just haven't been able to get over that hump. We haven't been able to get into October for the first time since 2011. And it's definitely frustrating for all of us as Phillies fans. And I know for you as well, you know, covering the team and being a fan yourself.
Yeah. I'm a fan first and foremost. I have been my entire life. I mean, I've been a Phillies fan since I remember going to baseball games at 8 years old. So it is frustrating, and I wish I had an answer. And obviously the guys in the clubhouse wish they had an answer. Joe Girardi wishes he had an answer. Dave Dombrowski wishes he had an answer. I don't know. You know, you watch from afar, and I have friends that cover the Braves, and I talk to those guys, you know, on a weekly basis, and they'll tell you, oh, our team can't do this and can't do this and can't do this, and we're not good enough to make the, you know, that's, and the Mets guys, they're the same way. But the Braves seem to just get it when it comes down to September. They seem to get the idea of closing out games, you know, getting big hits, taking care of business. They take care of business. And, you know, they've allowed this Phillies team to stay in it. They haven't been lights out, this Braves team, but, you know, you never feel like, you know, if you look at a score and the Braves are down 4-2 in the seventh, I don't know about you, but I feel like, you know what, they'll probably win that game. They're going, and I don't feel that way about the Phillies. And I think that's, I don't know why it is that way right now. I don't necessarily think it's the personnel. I don't think it's the manager. I didn't think it was the manager when it was Gabe Kapler. There's just something that's not connecting right now. And I will tell you this, Zach, the idea that the players don't care, that's a falsehood. The players do care. They definitely, if for no other reason They get paid in the postseason. You know, they make money in the postseason. They want, and I'm not saying that's their motivation, but it is a motivation. They want to get to the postseason. They just haven't figured out how to do it. And, you know, to waste the season like the one that Bryce Harper's having right now and Zach Wheeler's having right now, the frustration's real. I think as fans, we feel it. You know, as members of the media, we feel it. As part of the organization, we feel it. But I know everyone in that clubhouse is feeling it too. But being frustrated is one thing. Figuring out how to fix it is a whole nother thing.
Right. And speaking of fixing things, this first segment is brought to you by MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. For all your residential contracting needs, this is who you want to talk to. Everything from additions, renovations, kitchens, baths, closet organization, cabinetry, vanities, basements, everything you need. Mention the Green Legion and get 10% off on your order, regardless of how much. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. And normally we'd like to, you know, we're coming to the end here at the end of the season here, Murph. And before we dive in and we get out of the box, man, let's have a little bit of fun. Let's try and pick up our spirits before we knock them back down again. So, as always, we'd love to give away two tickets to an upcoming Phillies games. We don't have much left. The last homestand is coming up, so we might have another pair of tickets to give away for the Pirates series next week. But I do have two more tickets that we have available to give away to our fans. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about how we can go ahead and get those out?
All right, two tickets to the Phillies-Orioles Monday on September 20th, a $7.05 dollar dog night at the ballpark. So not only are you getting free tickets, but you're getting some cheap food while you're there. You can't beat that combination. In order to win, you got to answer the comment in the comment section on the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or at our Twitter handle. It is at Green Legion. So any of those will get you in for a chance to win the tickets. And here's what we're doing today. You've gone way out of the box. Trivia is gone. We're looking for your favorites of different kind of things. I love this today. So NBA coaching legend Phil Jackson celebrates his 76th birthday, which, by the way, is just crazy that he's 76 at this point. He's celebrating it on Friday, September 17th. So he was lucky enough to coach two of the greatest sports duos in history. Of course, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen with the Bulls, and then Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant with the Lakers. That's some pretty good talent that Phil had to work with. No wonder that he was able to win numerous rings. But our question is simple. What is the greatest duo or pairing of all time? Doesn't have to be sports. It can be anything you want. Two things that go together perfectly.
Like and, lamb and tuna fish.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
You know what that's from, right?
Yes, I do know what that's from. But yeah, that's it. So you come, be creative. Like I said, doesn't have to be sports. So, you know, maybe get outside of your comfort zone and give us the best duo or pairing. And if you do that and you log into our YouTube channel, Facebook or Twitter, give us the answer. You could win those tickets coming up. All right.
So who's yours, partner?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was thinking, because this is what we do, I was thinking in the sports world, there's a lot of great duos in the sports world, but, and then you brought up something right before we started the show that made me think, oh, that's interesting. You said peanut butter and jelly, which is absolutely, you know, it's a Hall of Fame duo right there. It's hard to beat. I'm going to go with, how about this? Peanut butter and chocolate. The Reese's combination. That is about as good as it gets. They had a marketing plan behind the peanut butter and chocolate coming. I'm going that peanut butter and chocolate. And Reese's Pieces is pretty good too, but
Reese's Pieces is my favorite candy of all time.
Reese's Pieces.
That love. No, they're delicious too, but the Pieces, man, you go to the movie theater and you get a bag of that. I mean, that probably explains some things. I mean, I haven't been in the movie theater, you know, outside of like one time over the last couple of years.
Yeah, but it's been a while.
You get that big bag of Reese's Pieces. Phenomenal.
All right.
For me, I'm going to go movie because this is going to tease to what we're going to do in our second segment today, which we're going to jump in the DeLorean and go back in time and look forward into our future. Back to the future. I'm going with Doc Brown and Marty McFly.
as the duo. They're a pretty good duo together.
That's a phenomenal duo right there.
Some good things.
Yeah, it's like everybody knows how huge of a fan of Back to the Future I am. I could watch it every day, all day, religiously forever. I mean, I keep it on the DVR.
Yeah. just
in case I have a go-to, you know. Like American Pie is on there too. I love those movies.
Great movie. You know what?
Absolutely.
One just popped into my head too, and I'm probably going to ruin it for someone, but how about Goose and Maverick together? That's a pretty good combo.
There you go. Right there. That's a good combo. Yeah. Does Sam have one? Does Sam want to chime in?
Yeah.
Sam, what do you think?
Want
to jump in here and give us a duo? What do you got for us, Sam? Sam's joining us tonight. Slash is taking the night off, but what else is new? I mean, he's turning into a regular Jansen now. So Sam, what do you have as a duo?
I do have one. I would have said Buzz and Woody.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. Yeah. Love it.
Another one, but I'll save it just in case.
All right.
But just to elaborate here and just so we can, you know, we get further clarification here. Buzz and Woody, we're talking about Toy Story, right?
Yes. Yes. We are talking about Toy Story.
Not a problem.
Just to clarify.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate you. We'll see you back here in the second segment. Murph, let's go out of the box here. Let's talk some baseball.
Yeah.
With the loss on Tuesday night, everybody knows now that we're recording on Wednesday night, so we don't know what the outcomes are for Wednesday night and Thursday going into the series, big series on Friday night, which everybody is probably listening to us, watching the Phillies and the Mets on Friday night. But man, with Tuesday night's loss against the Chicago Cubs over the last week, the Phillies have fallen to 1-5. And we kind of vented our frustrations at the beginning of the show, and we kind of got into it with that. But right now, we're still 4.5 games behind the Braves. We're 3 games behind in the wild card race right now in the National League. The playoff picture is starting to clear itself up a little bit. But, like, you know, the Braves are the only thing that's ahead of us in the National League East, while on the other side in the wild card race, we have to get through the Reds, the Padres, the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Mets are right behind us for third.
Yeah, you're right. It's an easier path with the division for sure.
And with 3 games left against the Braves too at the end of the season, we have to make up ground over this next week, Murph.
Yeah, you're right. They do. And, you know, they've had this opportunity because the Braves, you know, again, watching it from afar, it's, you think the Braves are world beaters, but they're really not. They're really just a slightly above average team. Now, their offense is pretty darn good, but their pitching is just average, and they have not separated themselves. They're losing games to Arizona. They're losing games to Colorado. They're losing games that we, you know, as Philadelphia fans, we're thinking they're going to win tonight, and they don't. And they're allowing the Phils to stay in it. Now, the Phils aren't taking advantage of it at this moment, but maybe they will. And the Braves still do have to go through California. They have to play the Padres, and they have to play the Giants. That is 6 games where the Phils will be playing teams. Well, they'll be playing the Mets and I think the Orioles or maybe the Pirates. I forget. But, you know, one of the poorer teams in the league. And that's where you got to make up the ground. You got to make it up because I don't think if you go down to Atlanta trailing by 3 games, I mean, asking for a sweep down in Atlanta is asking for a lot. But if you go down there trailing by a game and you can win 2 out of 3, you know, that's doable. That's something that could happen. So, but they got to take care of it now. You know, they can't wait until they play Atlanta. It's going to be too late by that point.
Yeah, and the frustrating thing was over this past weekend, Murph, losing 3 of 4 to the Colorado Rockies. I mean, they came into town, took 3 of 4 from us. They had the worst road record in all of Major League Baseball. I mean, like, there's a couple of teams that were close to them. I mean, the Diamondbacks, the Orioles. I mean, like, a couple teams, but that just shows the kind of realm that they're in. And it's like, you know, Thursday night, they were so close. Ian Kennedy, I remember I came home and I was watching some of the Thursday night football game, and I was like, all right, let me switch over to the Phillies game and let me just check in with them. And, you know, Ian Kennedy comes in, he throws a meatball over the plate on a 1-2 pitch with 2 outs and
2 outs and 2 strikes. Yeah.
He didn't have to throw that pitch there. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, was that his mistake? Was that the pitch that Marshawn called for? I mean,
he talked about it after. He completely missed his location. Oh, the idea was to bury it. And he left it up over the plate. And
didn't Nola do that the other day too? He said he should have threw that curveball 50 feet.
Yeah. They both made the same error. And it just can't happen. It can't happen. You know, 30 blown saves this season if they win five of those games. They're in first place.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's typical Phillies fashion, too, because then Kennedy gives up another home run right after that.
Yeah.
So you're down 4-2 at this point. And then it's Phillies in the ninth inning. They scratch and they claw and they have a chance to tie the game with a runner on third base. And it comes down to JT yet again. And yeah. JT's been a big disappointment. I think he's hurt. I think he's injured. I know he said before, like, he had like a shoulder injury that he was dealing with, but he's not making any excuses. He's showing up every single day. It's just, it's not the JT Realmuto that we are accustomed to for a couple years here and what we signed to that 5-year contract extension for.
Yeah. Yeah. So he got a cortisone shot he got a pain shot on, what's it, Wednesday? Yeah. So yesterday and hopefully that helps because he's hurting. It's obvious he's hurting, but you know, he's a guy that needs to contribute in the middle of this offense. You know, we talk about the blown saves, but it is fair to say that a lot of those particular games you can hang it on the offense. You can say, look, you know, you score three runs in the first inning and then you don't add on for the rest of the game. You end up losing that game 4-3. This team is not consistent enough offensively and defense has been a problem too. So, you know, they're kind of, you know, losing games in all facets, but you need this offense to go out there and score 5, 6, 7 runs a game to give your pitching staff that idea that we don't have to be perfect. And they haven't done that. You know, we'll point to the 30 blown saves, but I would love to go back and look at each one of them and try to figure out, okay, but how many runners in scoring position did we leave on in that game that brought us to the ninth inning, then it was a one-run game, and the save was able to be blown. So there's plenty of blame to go around, and I think the guys, again, in that clubhouse, they know that. You know, they're not hiding from what's happening. It's not like they're pointing fingers at this point. They're just not playing good baseball. They're not playing good enough baseball right now to be a postseason team.
And we're going to dive further into those 30 blown saves in the second segment when we go back to the future and we try to envision what this team is going to have to do to make moves. And listen, I'm not trying to turn the page to the off season already. We're still in this. We're still in both of these races as highly unlikely as it seems that it is, but we're still in this. But I think these type of things we need to talk about because listen, Let's face facts with facts. Like, listen, if you get into the playoffs as a division winner, you are automatically in a National League division series. You're in a 5-game series. If you wind up getting in the wild card spot, in the second wild card spot, good luck. You're going to have to deal with the San Francisco Giants or the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Probably the Dodgers at this point. Yeah.
And if you're going to get the Dodgers at that point, you're going to throw Max Scherzer in that game. Because then you can start in game one, you can start Walker Buehler. Game two, Julio Urias. Game three, Clayton Kershaw. Like they have these things lined up. The Phillies aren't as fortunate. If you get into that 1-game playoff, you have to throw Zach Wheeler. And then at that point, you're looking at Aaron Nola or Kyle Gibson, and both of them have not pitched well over the last few weeks. Aaron Nola's been inconsistent all month, but it just seems like something in September is just biting these guys, and they're all of them outside, like Harper, his batting average isn't there, but he's still carrying this offense over the last couple weeks. And we'll dive further into that once we get into the next segment, which we have to prepare for, Murph, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen in this life. And that's why you always need to make sure that you have a good neighbor like Al Tallman over at Merchantville Country Club. So you need to make sure you have a good neighbor like him. But a really good neighbor is Dave Bavuso. And you deserve to get good service and great rates at State Farm. We get it. And we're here to help because with every State Farm policy, you get good neighbor service and you get surprisingly great rates. So what are you waiting for? Get going and talk to local State Farm agent Dave Bavuso about your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Bavuso State Farm Agency 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. Make sure you guys get in. Get your great pairing or duo. We're giving away 2 free tickets for this upcoming Monday's Dollar Dog Night against the Orioles, because right after break, and right now we only have a couple entries. I'm trying to get some more going, so we might put off when we're going to award those tickets. Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, we are Bud Light Baseball Brunch with Murph and Sack. We'll be right back right after this. The next sip, a small plastic drink pouch that frees your hands while you keep your beverage in the ready position. N-E-C-K, next sip. Time to free up those hands and wear your drink, everyone. It holds any beverage, even bottles, cans, and snacks. Text with both hands and drink at the same time. Visit nextsip.com and follow them at nextsip. Customize it any way. Perfect for sports events. Philly born and USA made. Only $5 each. 50% off when you see the when you use the code Green Legion. Again, visit nextsip.com and follow them at nextsip. They're also toddler approved. I know my son Carson has worn them a couple times around his neck, so you know he might. He might just put some snacks in there as well.
There you go.
welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch / Happy Hour here on Friday evening as we are, again, broadcasting on Wednesday night. You guys can always check us out on Wednesday nights at Green Legion on YouTube or follow us on Facebook, The Green Legion. You can watch us on Facebook Live or follow us on Twitter, at Green Legion. You can follow us and you can chime in and interact with us. Murph and I, we both follow the comments on the board so you guys can interact with us and win free tickets as well. We're giving away two tickets. Make sure you guys put in for tonight's show. I'm going to put this off, Murph. I'm going to put it off either to the end of the segment or to the beginning of the next segment. Best duo.
Yep.
Best duo. Doesn't have to be sports related. It could be anything. We've taken
two things that go together.
We like Murph and Sack. I mean, that's a great pairing. I mean, like lamb and tuna fish. Would you prefer spaghetti and meatball? You know, like those are the type of things that you have to keep in mind as far as a great duo. So make sure you get them in. Sam is going to have them. Once we have like a good number of them, we'll announce our favorite duo of what you guys have given us, and we'll give the tickets away to one of you guys out there. So thank you very much for joining us again this evening and having some fun with us. But right now, we have to go back in time, Murph. Let's pull our greatest Doc Brown and Marty McFly, and let's hop in this DeLorean because it's time to go back to the future.
The man does it all.
You know, I try to put in as much effort as I can, and you know, normally it's a lot easier when we have Jansen in the studio or Slash on the other end, but
hey, you make it work. You're a problem solver. I like
that. Yeah, you know, I couldn't hop back in this DeLorean unless we had some tunes to go along with it. So you guys are welcome.
Yeah.
For me adding that in there. But Murph, we have some issues that we need to talk about in regards to the Phillies. And so today we're going to either travel back in time or we're going to go to the future, as Doc would say. So for me, first item up, traveling back in time. Was it the right move to let go of Gabe Kapler 2 years ago when he's going to be the NL Manager of the Year and has a team that was the first to 70, 80, and 90 wins and the first team to clinch a playoff spot? Was it the right move? Let's go back.
All right, so here's what I would say to that. I think it was the right move if your core group of players, and I'm not privy to know whether or not the core group of players were not connecting with Gabe. You know, so Gabe is an interesting guy. We know that. I personally thought he was a terrific guy. He was great to be around. He was very forthcoming with information. He was good with the broadcasters. I enjoyed covering Gabe. I enjoyed him being the manager, but I'm not playing for him. So the guys in that clubhouse have to connect with the manager. That's what's important. That's how you win. You either connect or you're scared to death of them, one or the other. They certainly weren't scared to death of Gabe Kapler. So nowadays, I think the manager and the players, they need to have that connection. So if Gabe was connected with the players and the front office decided to move on from him, then I think it's a mistake. If they weren't, if the front office knew that there was a disconnect between the players and the manager, then I think the right move was to move on from him. So I don't have enough information to know that. Here's what we do know. At the end of the day, Gabe is capable of managing in the big leagues and managing his team to the postseason. We now know that, right? But you have to have the right connection. Dallas Green might not have been able to manage the 93 Phillies to the, you know, World Series. But Dallas Green was the perfect man for the job in 1980, right? Jim Fregosi was the perfect man in 93. Charlie Manuel was the perfect guy for 08. Larry Boa, you know, does Larry Boa manage the 08 teams of the World Series? Who knows, right? But Larry would have been perfect for other teams in the past. So there has to be a connection between the manager and the clubhouse. And if there's not, no matter how good that guy is, it's okay to move on from him.
From what I'm starting to look at here, Murph, now, I think it was time for him to go. Yeah. I mean, he signed a 3-year deal. He didn't do enough here to warrant being a lame duck manager or coming back on an extension. He just didn't. He didn't get along with the fan base, didn't seem to get him, and he didn't seem like he got the fan base. It was too much of that going on. But I will say this, and you say that there needs to be a connect between the manager and the players, because the same stuff is happening with Joe Girardi. So what you have to start thinking is, you know, Gabe right now has a group of proven winners: Posey, Crawford, Belt, Longoria, guys that have been there, guys that have done that. Now you have to look at the culture in that clubhouse as compared to what's in our clubhouse. So now I have to start thinking that, yeah, okay, maybe it was time for Gabe to go. But at the same time, he's got a group of proven winners and a group of players that will adapt to his quirkiness, to what he likes to do. And there's nothing wrong with what he wants to do as far as like an X and O standpoint with baseball and, you know, right, making sure
he knows the game for sure.
Yeah, and managing and making decisions. But it's for me, I look at now the real problem, and we talked about this on one of my blowups a few weeks ago. It's the players. It's the players.
It's legitimately
100%. It's the players.
It's always the players. And you and I, when we first started back in April, one of our early shows at the casino had the Gabe Kapler conversation, and you weren't a fan of Gabe's. And my point was, look, I don't know if it was Gabe Kapler or not, but what I always, you know, covering sports for 25 years, what I always come back to, always, is it's the players. It's always the players. Players will win and players will lose no matter who their manager, coach, you know, what doesn't matter. It's about the players. And so that's the way I felt when Gabe got let go. I understood why the organization did it. I got it. I actually think Gabe kind of understood why it happened. He probably would say, look, give me another year. I can figure this out. But they decided to move on from him. But the players themselves are the ones, they're always to blame. Always. And you know, if the team's not good enough, you could have the greatest manager coach of all time in the dugout or on the sidelines. It won't matter. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. So now to your point, he goes over to San Francisco. He has a group of veterans that have won before. They understand how to win. They have a good pitching staff, some young guys that are contributing, and there's a connection between Gabe and those players. He was able to connect with them and probably learn from a couple of mistakes that he made here in Philadelphia. You know, that's all part of it. And here right. He is. He's going to be the National League Manager of the Year. Well deserved. He's the first team to win 90 plus games this season. They may very well win that division, which nobody would have predicted. So, you know, you tip your cap to him and you say, good job, Gabe. What's happening here in Philadelphia is completely separate from that. Whether or not Joe's connected with these players, I don't know. I'm not privy to that information, but ultimately, as a manager and a coach, you can only do so much. And that's what it comes down to.
Correct. And then real quick, guys, one answer. All right. George Luder has given me like five duos.
Like his first. Pick one.
Okay. All right. Now, while we're on the topic of managers, let's go to the future real quick.
Okay.
The Phillies would be wise to part ways with Joe Girardi after the season if the September collapse continues. He only has 1 year left on his deal, two if you count the club option for 2023. What's your thought process on this, Murph?
Okay. So here's what I think. My answer to that would be no. And here's the reason. First of all, again, we know Joe Girardi is capable of managing in the big leagues. He was manager of the year in Florida in his one season with Florida. He won a World Series with the New York Yankees. He is more than capable of being a manager of a winning franchise. It's just a fact. He is.
Correct.
So my feeling is if you gave Gabe 2 years, boom, he's gone. You give Joe 2 years, boom, he's gone.
What precedent does that set exactly. for the next
Inside
manager
that clubhouse, you're they're yeah. just like, you know, well, yeah, first of all, yeah, who's going to want to come here? But right. secondly, it's like, all right, so the clubhouse gets to say, well, it wasn't our fault. It was Gabe's fault. And it wasn't our fault. It was Joe's fault. At some point, you have to say, you know, this guy is the guy. And if you can't play for him, or if you can't connect to him, or if you, then maybe we need to be looking inside the 25 or 26 at this point to make a change, not the guy sitting in the main office. So I think there has to be a time where the organization says, we're not going to blame the manager for this. We're going to start to blame the personnel. And, so for that reason, you have Joe Girardi. We were all very excited when Joe came to town. I know I was. I mean, here's a guy that has a proven track record. Here he is. Now he has to get the players playing to the point where they can win and get to the postseason. And guess what? They still might get there. This narrative could change. You know, they might get to the postseason. It's an uphill battle, but they might get there. But no, I do not think they should move off of Joe for that reason, because it just gives an excuse to the folks that I really think it where the blame lies, and that's inside that clubhouse.
It's kind of like the Flyers. They kept Alain Vigneault. You know, Lane had a really great first year here, and then he had a really bad second year here. And then, like, everyone's like, oh, well, he's lost control of the clubhouse, or the locker room in hockey. It's like, no, you know, like, eventually at some point you have to sit there and say, it's the leadership in the locker room. And I'm not placing that on Giroux. I've only heard great things over the years with Giroux as far as being a captain's concerned. Yeah. But eventually, at some point, you have to look at the leadership council around him. And it's kind of like these guys in the clubhouse. Like, who's the real alpha male in that clubhouse? Who's going to be the Dutch Dalton? Who's going to be the guy? And listen, that guy might not exist anymore in this day and age. But for the love of God, someone has to be the guy in the clubhouse and sit there and say, hey, guys, this is unacceptable. We're not going to accept this. You know, we're losing is unacceptable, and playing this way is unacceptable. And that's what this Phillies team needs. They need somebody to come in here and take the reins of this clubhouse. If it's not going to be the guy, you know, that's probably going to finish top three in MVP this year, it's got to be somebody else. It's got to be somebody that's going to step up and step into that clubhouse and take the reins.
And I would say this, Zach. I do think that Bryce has shown the ability to lead. Like, I mean, he has stepped in front of the cameras and has said, this is embarrassing. What is happening each and every night is embarrassing. That is a leader. That's a guy that is not afraid to take that on himself. I don't know. Bryce is not Dutch, but he, well,
nobody is. And we know
very few guys will ever be Dutch, but you know, Bryce is not Pat Burrell. Pat Burrell was a vocal leader in that OA clubhouse and they needed a guy like that. But Bryce has shown that he is not afraid to be the guy that says, all right, it's on me. It's on me. And I've been impressed by him this year in that role. But you need more. You need a couple more guys. I think Gene Segura has been that guy this year. I really do. I think the way he has played and the way he has spoken after, he's been one of those guys. But you need more. You need a little bit more. So it's a tough call. It's a tough call about Joe. But, you know, personally, I would keep him. I would sign them back and say, all right, we're going to run with you.
All right. Real quick, before I do this live read, Murph, I'm going to do one last to the future.
Okay.
Just give me a real quick. What's the most pressing need or needs for this team? Give me one off the top of the bat.
For now or for next season?
For next season. There's nothing we can do right now.
So we're looking for next season. I would say, honestly, I would say a number two starter.
Number two starter.
And I would follow closely behind by a closer, a legit closer.
All right, because you can take the number two. I want the closer because we need somebody that's going to get outs in that bullpen.
Yeah, agree.
You know,
the more I think about it, I would go closer, number two starter. Yeah.
All right, so we're both on the same page. Yep. And if you want to be on the same page, more than likely, you're going to wind up in the same car. And that's why you have to go to Cherry Hill Triplex, the premier New Jersey Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram dealer serving South Jersey and all the Delaware Valley. They have a huge selection of new and used vehicles from which to choose. Cherry Hill Triplex online and offline customers enjoy vehicle specials every day. We offer Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram in service and parts, and online inventory and outstanding financing options, making Cherry Hill Triplex the preferred dealers serving the entire Delaware Valley. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram buyers, get ready and set up a test drive. Visit us in Cherry Hill, New Jersey today. Coming up after break, we're going to announce the winner of our tickets because we have a ton of entries now, Murph. So we're going to give away our two tickets for Phillies Orioles on Monday night, Dollar Dog Night. Make sure you guys stay tuned with us as we go and give our picks for Friday night as well, right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch / Happy Hour with Murph and Sack, right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after these messages. Co.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more. Again, visit www.BucksCountyBaseballCO.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge, and the website is even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports. Welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch / Happy Hour for our last segment here on this Friday evening. And, man, we only had a couple entries coming into our second segment for the greatest duo of all time, Murph. Yeah. And it has exploded. I put a post on Facebook. I put a post on Twitter. And I have the ones that Sam has here for me. So I'm going to go with, let's start off at the top here with the ones that we got from our message board.
All right. Hit me.
Abbott and Costello.
Classic.
Batman and Robin. Lucy and Ethel. DiMaggio and Barra.
Pretty good.
Paul and Oates. Okay, so those are the ones from our message board here.
Hall and Oates, Philly connection, I like it.
All right, I have Jack and Coke from my neighbor John, but I don't know why he's not saying Captain and Coke, and I don't know why he's not saying Captain and Ginger, which is my go-to beverage of all time.
Yeah, you know, I may or may not have had one of those tonight.
Well, earlier. Keep drinking, my friend. Stay thirsty. All right.
All right. And then, I'm taking notes now. This is how serious I am. Go ahead.
Harry the K and Whitey. Beavis and Butthead.
Classic.
Ruth and Gehrig. Vodka and Cherries. DeVito and Schwarzenegger.
All right.
Ren and Stimpy.
Yep.
All right. And then off of Twitter, I have Juan Samuel and Steve Jeltz. Rollins and Utley. I have Jay and Silent Bob.
Okay.
Cheech and Chong.
Classic.
And then I have a couple, but she's from Miami, so I have Big Poppy and Manny Ramirez, and then right. Jeter and Posada, just as a show of respect.
All right.
But we have a ton of them, buddy. Have a ton of them.
So the right answer, and you alluded to it earlier, I mean, the right answer that would have won you the tickets would have been Sack and Murph. That you would have won.
I mean, I don't understand why people just don't follow the rules here. I mean,
seriously, duo, we're sitting right here, you know, but okay, it's fine.
Not one person.
I get that Jack and Coke is cool too. I would have voted for us, Sack, but you know, that's maybe I'm a little biased, but
I would have too. No doubt.
There are some good ones. There's some really good ones. And so my initial thought was I was going to go away and definitely pick one away from sports. However, one of the ones you named is my leader in the clubhouse. I love the Jack and Coke, so that's number two for me. Jack and Coke was great. That was very clever and a good combo. So that's number two for me. But there's one better, I think, that I would go with. But let me hear your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of on the lean with Harry and Whitey. Is that who you got for your number one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I there's always a soft spot in my heart, and
hard to argue.
You know, yeah. And we get to listen to Harry's voice every single week when we do. Can you believe it? So congratulations. Yes, I have one in my room and one in the boys' room of that. Congratulations to Jerry Yashinsky for winning the ticket. So Jerry, appreciate you tuning in as always, and I will get your email address myself and send the tickets to you. So have fun on Monday night and get us a W. Lord knows we need it now more than ever.
Yeah, now you have some responsibility, Jerry, because we need a win when you get there. So go ahead and get over to the ballpark and get us a win. But
get some hot dogs.
Yeah, that's a great one. I mean, in the world we live in, and, you know, I'm so lucky to do what I do. And those guys, I mean, they're the best. They're the best ever, for sure. Great combo.
And they set the tone for what I grew up wanting to do.
You and me both.
Yeah, you know, living in this area and growing up as a kid, and the goal was always wanted to be on SportsCenter. That was always the goal. I don't think I'll ever get there. I'm fat and I'm balding and they don't put those type of people on TV. But I will say that has always been the dream, and it all started by hearing their voices, and that, you know, they are icons in the Delaware Valley. And we're lucky to have another great pairing just the same on the radio side of things. I can't really dive into that because it's a conflict of interest with what station we're on right now. 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. But Murph, let's get into our picks.
Yes.
Murph, after this past week, okay, we both went 2-1, so you're still holding on to the lead.
Yep.
You are now 36-28-1 on the season, and I'm 33-32. We have a couple weeks left here, Murph, so you know, you got to stay steadfast, and I can't have any screw-ups. So what's your first pick for this week?
All right, so we're picking games for Friday night, on the NL schedule, and there's some good games this Friday. There's some good contests, some that mean a whole lot for the Phils, that's for sure. But I kind of went away from the low-hanging fruit. At this point of the season, it's really hard to predict whether or not these bad teams are going to, you know, call up a bunch of guys and they're going to, you know, be playing for their lives and they'll get a win. So I'm going with teams that we know, and the Dodgers are playing for something right now. To me, the Dodgers are the most talented team in baseball.
No doubt.
They may not be the best team in baseball, but they're the most talented team in baseball, in my mind. And they're taking on the Reds. The Reds have been struggling. So I'm going Dodgers over Reds Friday night. I think the Dodgers, I don't know that they'll catch the Giants. 2 weeks ago, you asked me that question. I said they catch them for sure. I'm not so sure at this point, but the Dodgers still have to play for something. So I go Dodgers over Reds in that one Friday night.
All right. And plus, we need the Giants to win three this weekend. That would be nice.
All right.
So I'm going to go Astros over Diamondbacks, Luis Garcia versus Humberto Castellanos. Astros one game ahead of the White Sox for the second best record in the American League. Why does that matter so much? Home field advantage in the American League Division Series against the White Sox is going to come at a premium. You want those first two games at home. And if you have to go five, you want that at home too. This game means something to them. This series and every series moving forward, the Astros have to stay ahead of the White Sox. They're going to win this game on Friday night. What's your second one?
All right. Well, in that same vein, White Sox, Texas Rangers. I just said that I'm staying away from bad teams because you never know. Look,
you can't stay away from the Rangers. No, you and I both know this.
Texas has they've bought my sure house for me at this point. I have won so many games on Texas, so I'm taking the White Sox. Who, again, to your point, they have to keep winning too. It is so important for them to get that home field advantage. So White Sox over the Rangers. Give me those Chicago boys day in and day out over Texas. I think they win that one easily.
Speaking of buying a shore house, screw you, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. But for me, my second pick is the Brewers over the Cubs. Milwaukee at home. Adrian Hauser starting. The magic number for them right now, I believe, is 4 with the Reds, 5 with the Cardinals. They could have this wrapped up this weekend. That could be the clinching game on Friday night. So I'm going to take them to wrap up the NL Central on Friday evening.
I like it.
So against the Cubs, what's your third and final pick for me?
All right. So this one, maybe I'm kind of hoping against hope, but I do think it, you know, the Giants continue to play really good baseball. They also need to keep winning to keep the Dodgers in the rearview mirror. They've got the Atlanta Braves. As Phillies fans, we're hoping the Braves go out to California and fall flat on their face when they're playing the Padres and the Giants. So I'm taking the Giants over the Braves. I'm taking maybe it's more with my heart than anything else, but I'm saying go Giants. Go Gabe Kapler, Giants over Braves. They beat the Braves on Friday night.
All right, and I'm going to go real quick here because we have to still do Can You Believe It. Blue Jays over Twins, three-team race in the American League East for two wildcard spots. Blue Jays are the hottest team of them all, 8-2 in their last 10 as of Wednesday night. Twins stink. They're playing for nothing. I'm going to take the Blue Jays in that one with Hyunjin Rin on Ryu on the mound for the Blue Jays. So without further ado, Can You Believe It?
Believe it.
All right. Doesn't feel as great with Can You Believe It when we're not hearing Harry's voice. And I blame you, Slash, for that and your brother for being born on Wednesday and the reason why we didn't get it tonight. But nonetheless, we're going to still carry on. Two things we find interesting from this past week in Major League Baseball. Murph, what's your first one for me?
All right. I just trashed the Rangers, but they did have a kind of a cool story coming out of Texas. Adolis Garcia their young rookie, 30 home runs, hit his 30th home run on the season. And the reason I found it interesting, he ties the Texas Rangers rookie record for home runs in a season. Who held it before that? How about our old pal, Pete Incaviglia? Pete Incaviglia, 30 in his rookie season with Texas. Garcia just ties that up. So I thought that was fun. So we went with that one.
All right. So the Milwaukee Brewers had the 8th no-hitter of the season, which breaks the modern-day record for no-hitters in Major League Baseball season. That right there does nothing for me. The fact that the Cleveland Indians have been no-hit 3 times this season, the starting pitcher all 3 times for the Cleveland Indians in those games, Zach Plesac. For the love of God, could this guy have any worse luck in the world?
It's the worst. It's unbelievable. We talked about that on the show the other day. That is unbelievable. All 3 he was on the mound for. How about a little run support? How about a little hit support? Just give me some hits. That'll be enough. But yeah, that's a great one. No doubt.
Unbelievable. So, what's your second one for me?
All right. So, Robbie Ray may be your American League Cy Young winner. He has had an outstanding season. The Blue Jays, as you just pointed out, are on the march right now for postseason. So, Robbie Ray has 3 games with 13 plus strikeouts this season. All other lefties in Blue Jays history combined, 1. In their history, their left-handers, 1 with 13 or more strikeouts. Robbie Ray has 3 this year.
Unbelievable. On my end, I'm going to stick with the strikeout theme here. Pitchers with 3,000 strikeouts and 3-plus Cy Youngs, Matt Scherzer joined this elite company the other day on Sunday when he struck out Eric Hosmer. Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens, Steve Carlton, Tom Seaver, Greg Maddux, Pedro Martinez. You might have heard of them all.
Yeah, they all reside in the same museum, I think, out there in Canton.
Well, except for the one, but yeah. You know, he wasn't taking steroids. It was his wife.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah, he was just sharing them.
So absolutely. Yeah. Murph, we got about 1 minute here. Give me some closing thoughts on what we need to expect over this next week. We got a big series against the Mets, and then we had the Orioles and the Pirates coming to town. What do you got for me? 15 seconds.
All right, Phil's got to win. I mean, they just got to take care of business. It doesn't matter what anybody else does unless the Phillies take care of business. The schedule favors them. It's right there in front of them. I think I said the exact same thing last week. You just got to go out there and win. You can't lose against the Cubs. You can't lose against the Pirates. You can't lose against the Orioles, period.
All right. Sounds great. And I absolutely agree with you. I would love to go to Atlanta and Miami at the end of this month and have a shot at winning this division. Maybe not clinch it one of those nights, but have a shot. I want those games to mean something when I'm in Atlanta and Miami towards the end of the season. But thank you all for tuning in. What an unbelievable outcome we had tonight on our social media outlets. You guys were great. And congratulations yet again to Jerry Yashinsky for the tickets for Monday night's game. Get us a W. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby, for Murph and Zach. We'll see you next week right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Enjoy the rest of your Friday evening and enjoy. Go Phillies.